from the glory crowd. I like the glory crowd. I mean, I like to sing, glory to his name. I like to be around when a preacher gets in the glory. I like to be around when a camp meeting begins to rise and it gets so foggy you can't see the end of your nose. Then you're getting in the glory. I like to be around, brother, when God's glory is manifested. And what a blessing that is to be where the glory is. And that's what I'm going to preach on in a moment. Let us behold his glory. His glory. It belongs to him. It belongs to him. And when everything comes to final consummation, and the last song has been sung, the last prayer has been prayed, the last sermon has been preached, all glory and praise shall be to the Savior. Isn't that going to be wonderful? All glory. God, what a wonderful thought that is. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 15. I want you to notice with me, please, and we're going to especially notice verse 17, but I want you to stand with me for the reading of the Scripture tonight. And I'm going to read, and we're going to get right into the message tonight on Let's Behold His Glory. Let's take a look. Let's look again at the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, as I begin reading, Simon Peter's talking about dying. He's talking about after he's dead. And, you know, a lot of people don't like to talk about, you know, death or dying. And I'm not in a hurry to die. I like it pretty good around Ponce de Leon, praise God. I hear people say, I'd like to go on to heaven. I like it pretty good around here. Don't you like it pretty good? I'm having the best time you ever saw. Praise God. What a blessing. But here's Simon Peter talking about dying. And he said, I want to, after you take me out there and put me in the ground, and after you put a flower or two on my grave, I want you to remember something. He said, after I'm deceased, remember something. So with that in mind, I'm going to begin reading with verse 15. Moreover, listen, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He said, I'm going to give you some things to remember after I'm dead. I want you to keep him, now he says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And really, that's his glory. The verse 17, for he said, and he received from God the Father honor and glory. Notice what the Lord Jesus Christ received from his Father. He received honor and glory. When there was such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Old Simon Peter said, I heard him speak up there, praise God. Said, we also have more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn that the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures have any private interpretation. Now let me say this before I read the last verse tonight and get into the message. Let me give you something here. Here's what he's saying. He said, I want you to know that the prophecy is a light that shineth in a dark place. Brother, if we didn't know that Jesus is coming, and if we didn't know that one day, bless God, things are going to get better, I want to tell you, we'd be of all men most miserable. But we got a hope tonight. Praise God. We've got a hope for the future tonight. We're the children of God. And he said that prophecy is like a light when you're out there in the darkness. That glory to God, it'll shine in just in time to find your way home. Isn't that good? Bless God, don't care how dark it gets, there'll be some light shining out there. And he said, prophecy is that light that shines. All right, let's notice that last verse, please. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to look back with me, please. He says in verse 17 that Jesus Christ received glory and honor from the Father, and glory and honor from the Father. I want you to be seated all over the house, if you will. Bow your heads after you're seated. And in just a few moments after I pray, I want to bring you the message tonight on Let's Behold His Glory. Our Father, we thank Thee for this great camp and the blessings of being here, being part of the family of God, being part of Mount Zion camp meeting. Lord, we can leave after the service tonight. We can remember these sermons that we've heard in the morning. We can remember the singing. We can remember these testimonies. Our Father, we can go out here charged up, ready to face an unbelieving world. We can go out as light shining in a dark place. Our Father, we're glad tonight that people have been stirred and blessed and moved by the Spirit of God. And as we come tonight, oh Lord, to speak on this great subject of glory, I pray tonight you'll speak to our hearts and may we behold His glory. Lord, I'm glad it's not the glory of governments, it's not the glory of education, the reformation, rehabilitation, but it's the glory of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it's all consummated and we come to the end of the journey, thank God we'll bow at Jesus' feet and we'll give Him the glory and the praise and the honor for all that's accomplished. Now bless our hearts in the preaching of the Word of God, and we'll thank you because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Beloved, tonight I want to speak to you on the subject, let's behold His glory. As I said a few moments ago, the glory of God is the splendor of God. And I'm glad that I love the glory. I've been in some churches, brother, they were fundamental to the core. They dotted every I, crossed every T, but they didn't want anything to do with the glory. I want you to know, my friend, I was born in the glory. Thank God I can't stand to get out of it. I like to be in the glory of the God of my Father. What a blessing it is. But tonight I'm going to preach about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, if there's ever been one in all the history that ought to have all focus and all attention given to Him, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you talk about the glory, a lady said to me the other night, said, Brother Mays, said, what kind of clothes did Adam and Eve wear before they sinned? I said they wore the glory. I'm glad, praise God, that they were draped in glory. And did you know that's what Paul meant when he said he wanted to be clothed? Bless God, one of these days we're going to put on some heavenly dress and it'll be the glory of God. Like Adam and Eve were clothed in the glory. But when they sinned, they lost that glory. And it was a terrible sight. And they knew they were naked. And the scripture says, and you know what it says about the fig leaves and then, and when God killed that little lamb. But first, let me say this as we get into the message tonight. Here's old Simon Peter. I do not know how old he was here, but he's talking about dying. And as he talks about death, he said, wait. When I die, don't remember that sermon I preached on Pentecost. He said, I don't want you to go around and say that I preached and 3,000 souls were saved. Why, bless your heart tonight. If somebody really preached in Ponce de Leon, and thousands of people gathered and 3,000 were genuinely saved, I want to tell you they'd broadcast it. They'd put it on every television station. But not so with Simon Peter. He said, when I die, you walk by my casket or you pass my grave. I don't care anything about you remembering that sermon. He said, here's the second thing. I don't even care about you remembering that one night I walked on the water. Now, did you know somebody said, I don't like Simon Peter. Have you ever walked on the water, honey? Don't you criticize him. Bless God till you walk on some water. And the Bible said, Simon, he didn't say, after I'm deceased, I want you to remember my preaching. I want you to remember I walked on the water. I'll tell you what he did say. He said, after I'm gone, remember that I was on the Holy Mount and said I saw the glory manifested in Jesus Christ. The time, my friend, when the glory burst forth from his body. The time when Shekinah glory was manifested. Simon Peter said, I felt him. I handled him. I heard a voice on that mountain. Said, I want to tell you something. I was taken aside, apart from it all. And he said, on that mountain, I got a taste of the glory of God. And said, after old Simon's dead, I want you to tell him all about I was a fisherman and that I left my nets to follow Jesus. But you tell him that one day Jesus took me up on top of that mountain and I beheld his glory. And I want to say this to you, beloved, if you ever go to the mountain of glory, you'll never be the same. There's something about it that thrills us and something about it
Let me show you three people in the Bible that had encounters with the glory of God. And then I'll start in the message on this, behold His glory. First of all, there's a man in the Bible, and his name was Moses. He became discouraged. He saw people naked. He saw people worshiping the golden calf. And he said, oh God, I want you to let me behold your glory. And so he went upon the mountain. And as he stood there, God said, stand on the rock. I'm glad, brother, I'm marred up in the rock. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm standing on that rock. God said, Moses, stand on the rock, and I'll pass by. And then he said, as my glory passes by, he said, you can't look at me. I'll put my hand over your eyes, and you can only see my back, because as my glory passes by, if you looked in my face, you'd die. And so the Bible said, God passed by. Have you ever been on a mountain, stood on a rock, and watched God's glory pass by? He was a man that needed encouragement. Number two, in 2 Chronicles 5, old Solomon had an encounter with God's glory. He'd been building that temple, and he raised holy hands to God, and he said, oh God, I want to dedicate this place for your glory. And about that time, God filled it up with the glory. In fact, it got so much in there that the priest couldn't come in. It'd stick her head in, say, glory, I can't stand it, glory. I want to tell you there's glory on the inside of that temple. Oh, there was glory. I want you to know. And then Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, he said, and seraphims cried, holy, 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 the whole earth is filled with his glory. And I'll tell you something else, bless God, the heavens are filled with his glory. What a blessing it is tonight. But if you've got your pencils, I want you to follow me tonight as we behold his glory. Simon Peter said, after I'm dead, I want you to tell them that I beheld his glory. Number one, how you say, preacher, how do we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? We go to a little town called Bethlehem. We look into a cradle. We look into a crib. And there we see the glory of God. It says that night when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, that there were some shepherds in Luke chapter 2 watching their flock beneath. And they heard a multitude of heaven singing, are saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. For unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior's born. And brother, I want to tell you something. They said, let us now and go see this thing or this glory that's in Bethlehem. I want you to know, my friend, tonight, I'm glad that when we behold that cradle, when we see that babe, we behold the glory of God. Because there never was a babe like him. He had a virgin for a mother. And she went down in the mysterious land of motherhood. Came back and said, I'm with child. And brought forth the holy thing. And the Bible said the Holy Ghost had hovered over her. I want to tell you, a man that doesn't believe the virgin birth has no business in the pulpit, mister. A man that doesn't believe that has no business preaching. You say, preacher, what happened? I want to show you what happened. They gathered around and they looked at that little babe. You know what Paul said when he's writing to Timothy? He said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, because God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. He said, I want to tell you something. He's preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up to glory. I can see Mary as she reaches down in that little cradle and picks up that little boy, and she looks at that little boy and she thinks, no doubt, of what John was going to write when John wrote in chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory. Do you know what Mary did? She looked down down and she said, here's God. He's got eyebrows. Oh, he's got fingernails. He put on flesh and he's come down. And here is the glory. I believe she pulled him up on her bosom. Oh, listen to me. I believe she started singing, glory to his name. Glory to his name. Because in her arms, she held the great mystery of the Son of God coming down in condescension, coming down, praise God, to be born of a virgin, be placed in a cow stable, and the glory of God was manifested in that place. I want to tell you something, I can't comprehend it, how the God that said, let there be, came down to this world and was born of a woman. I don't understand that. I can't understand it, how that he sucked from the breast of his earthly mother. I don't understand that, but I want to tell you, I want to walk over tonight. I've been there many times. I don't know how many times I've been to Bethlehem. But I want to reach over tonight, look in that little old manger bed. I want to say, behold, I see his glory. Praise God, that's been manifested in this crib, in this cradle. Thank God, has come to the second thing tonight. The glory of God is displayed in a Christian. The Bible said in Psalm 21 verse 5, His glory is manifested in great salvation. And I'm glad for that tonight. Every time an old drunk gets saved and throws away that liquor bottle, you know what you're seeing? You're seeing the glory of God manifested. Let me tell you something. You know what you're seeing tonight? When a woman that's been ill repute and lived in the streets of sin, and Jesus picks her up, you see the glory of God. I want you to know tonight, when I look at some of these old saints, I can see his glory manifest in their faces. Let me show you a couple of things tonight. The Bible says in Exodus 34, and Moses went on top of that mountain and stayed with God 40 days and 40 nights. And when he came down off of that mountain, listen to what it says. It said, in the glory of God was on his face so until they had to cover him and veil his face. I want to tell you, they saw the glory of God in the face of Moses. And it's a shame tonight that the people of God have lost the glory that ought to be in our faces tonight. Bless God, they ought to see it. The Bible said they had to hide his face because of the glory. My Bible said in Psalm 8, what is man that thou crown him with glory? Oh, what is man? He's talking about, first of all, the Son of God. And then he's giving the type of the Christian. Thank God he crowned us with glory. I don't want to lose that glory. You know what happens to a Christian that loses the glory of God? He'll dry up. My friend, he'll die. He'll be no good to Jesus. I want to keep that facial expression that the glory of God is shining upon me. And when you look at that Christian, you see the glory of God beholding the splendor of the Lord. What a blessing. Well, let me show you something. You say, well, I believe I can keep it. You may lose the glory of God. You don't lose salvation, but you can lose the glory of the glow of the glory in your face. You say, I don't believe that. If you'll turn to 1 Samuel 4, when you get home, there's a woman having a baby. And if she's having a baby, her pains came upon her, and she said, who is it at the door? And they said, it's a runner from the war. That runner came in and said to Phinehas, his wife, said, your father-in-law's dead. He fell off the wagon and said, your husband just got killed. Oh, said, we've lost the joy. We've lost the battle. We've lost the glory. I want to tell you, the Bible said when her pains came upon her and she delivered that little boy, she didn't want him. And they said, wait a minute, you're his mother. She said, take him away. Name him Ichabod, for the glory of God has departed from Israel. And mister, I want to say to you tonight, the devil will give you back pains to cause you to lose the glory of God. Now I believe tonight many of a Christian that had that glow and the people beheld that glory. Tonight they look at you and say the glory of God has departed from that face. Isn't that sad tonight that God's people, but you say, preacher, where can we behold His glory? We behold it in the crib. We behold it in the Christian. Then we come, we behold it in the cross. Oh, I'm so glad. Be my glory ever. Thank God when I want to see His glory. I'll slip away and take this book and I'll stand beneath the old rugged cross, because in the cross we behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is. Let me show you something. I didn't see this in three of the Gospels. It doesn't tell you what the disciples talked about on the Mount of Transfiguration. It said they talked about His decease. But if you read in Luke's account, you know what it says? Talks about His decease in the glory. I mean in the cross. Brother, it wasn't defeat. Because when Jesus said it's finished, that was the greatest victory the world has ever known. And praise God, I'm so glad. And when you stand at the foot of that cross, you behold His glory in His suffering. And as you hear the drip of the blood and the heartbeat of the Son of God, I never will forget when I was a little boy, I wasn't a Christian. I went into a church and heard a Jew preach. Now, I don't know what I ought to say a Jew. He was a completed Jew. Our Christian, he had been saved. Boy, he preached on the cross. And I sat there that night. And I went home and tears ran down my cheeks. I sat down on the steps and my mother came down and said, Maze, I want to ask you something. Said, Maze, don't you want to go to bed? And I said, no, mother, I can still see him hanging there. I can hear the drip of that blood. My mother came and sat down on the steps with me. And brother, I tell you, she started singing the old rugged cross. And must Jesus bear the cross alone? And as a little old boy, I beheld the glory of that cross. I'm glad Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. There's nothing else to glory in but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Nothing in my hand I bring, save it to the cross I cling. It's not my preaching. It's not your goodness. Rather, it's the blood. It's the grace of God. And thank God in the cross we can behold His glory. Thank God. I will show you something else. I didn't see this stuff getting up this message. The centurion, why did he change his mind? He stood there and said, drive that spike in his hand. He said, grab that leg. Drive that spike in his feet. But why did he change his tune? He was standing there at the foot of that cross. Boy, he looked up and he saw something different. Oh, God wrapped that cross in glory. And that centurion said truly, this is the Son of God. Woo! Bless God. He didn't believe it when he was driving the nails. He didn't believe it when he put his feet to that cross. He didn't believe it, mister, as he put him hanging there and that blood dripping down. But when God let that centurion look up and say, be my glory ever. I want to tell you something. He stood there and dropped his spear. And that guard of the Roman soldiers said, truly, this is the Son of God. Oh, you say, why? He saw His glory at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. Thank God you see the glory at the cross. But there's something else tonight. You see the glory of Jesus in His church. Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church. I hear somebody say, preacher, the church is going down. No, it's going the opposite direction, honey. Glory to God. I want you to know, unto Him be the glory in the church. Revelation 2:3 says, and He's walking in the midst of a church. He's wanting us to taste and enjoy His glory. glory now. Why, some of you never shouted. Bless God, you've never even had a holy grunt. And I know what you're going to do when you step just inside the gates and everybody's giving glory to God and praise to God and thanksgiving to God and glory to God. Mister, you're going to be embarrassed because you've never taken time to give any glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, mister. I want you to know, praise God, for the glory that we see Christ in the church. Said His glory unto Him be glory in the church. I'm glad, boy. You know, I used to preach a sermon. I'm going to preach it down here one time. I missed it, but I never got but just a little bit of it. On the four hallelujahs of the book of the Revelation, chapter 19. Now, that'll scare most of you folks to death. Some of you, when you hear the word hallelujah, it scares you. If I go to Africa tonight and say hallelujah, they'll know what I'm talking about. If I come into some Baptist churches around Ponce de Leon and say hallelujah, they'll think, my, where did he get that strange word? But bless God, hallelujah, it's a heavenly word. It's heavenly language. It gives glory to the Lord. And the Bible said there are four hallelujahs. And the last hallelujah goes to that when it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because he's going to say, church, come on home, honey. It's supper time. And I'll be a hallelujah. And I'll be glory to Sarah. Boy, you thought there's going to be a wedding. And I'm glad I'm part of that bride. Woo! Praise God. I'm part of that bride. I never will forget when I went to my girlfriend. I said, I want to marry you. She said, is that right? I said, yeah, God wants me to marry you. She said, are you sure it's God? And I said, I'm sure it's God. See, my wife, you have to explain her every little detail. And she said, well, I pray about it. I said, you don't have to pray about it. God's already told me. The Holy Ghost told me the first time I saw you down there. I never will. Did I ever tell you the first time I saw her? She was working in the bank. And she came down the cafeteria to eat with some other girls. And I was with a Baptist preacher. I mean, he was walking down. And a little fellow came by. And he was nice. I mean, I don't use cigarettes. Never did. A little bit for saves. But this fellow came down and said, Philip Morris. Philip Morris. And I said, no, I don't smoke now. I ain't going to smoke here after. Glory to God. And that little fellow looked at me real funny. And he said, Philip Morris. And I told Bill Connor, that Baptist preacher, I said, you see that blonde-haired girl over there in that crowd? I said, she's going to be my wife. He said, she may be married. I said, no, the Holy Ghost don't make no mistakes. And bless God, he told me she's going to... And that little fellow went over there to her table and said, Philip Morris. And I said, Lord, don't let her take one. Oh, God, don't let her take one. And did you know every girl that worked at that bank took one but Dot? And I punched that Baptist preacher. He thought he had appendicitis, and I got through with him. Wham! I said, bless God, you see there, don't you, bud? And I showed him. And then I went to see her, and we started dating. I took her with me the first night. I never will forget. I said, you might be my wife. She said, Mays, I promised God, now as a little girl, I'd never marry a preacher, a lawyer, or a doctor. After I got through preaching, was going home, she said, I'll marry you. I said, why did you change your mind? She said, you're not preaching enough to her. And praise God. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, let me tell you something. Well, you know what I did? Listen to me. I asked her, she said, all right, I'll marry you if Papa says so. And I said, Papa? Bless God, I ain't asking Papa. I'm not marrying Papa, I'm marrying you. She said, now, Papa's peculiar. And was he peculiar? I said, I'll go see him one night. We'll get in the car and ride to the first little town. And bless God, I'll ask him and turn around and come back. And that'll be all there is to it. I got him in the car. We went through one town, three towns, four towns, five towns. I thought I was going to California. I was nervous. Couldn't say. Finally, I said, now, bless God, I ain't going no further and burn no more of this gas. I said, can I have your daughter? And he looked at me and he said, yes. But if you don't treat her right, would you bring her home? And so a few months later, we were married. And he gave her away. And what a beautiful wedding. But I want to tell you, when the glory of the church is really going to be manifested, bless God, when they all heaven begins to sing, here comes the bride, without spot and without wrinkle. And brother, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ will be manifested at the wedding in the sky. And it's going to be a blessed time. The glory of that wedding. Thank God. I was over here in Chattanooga. I didn't know a returned missionary knew how to blow a horn like she did. She had a trumpet. And she was back over there. Old boy, Roy Lucas got up. He had about 80 in that choir. And he said, Let's sing for Brother Mays before he preaches tonight. Here comes the bride. And boy, I tell you, I really got emotionally upset that night. They got it singing, and I got to cutting up there. I think Roy was there one night, and he showed out. And you know, if Roy shows out, bless God, there's got to be something around there. I mean, if Roy ever shouts, there's got to be something going on. And that night, they got to singing, and I didn't know that girl was behind that piano. And when they said, pick up your trumpet, Gabriel, she grabbed that horn, began to blow. I started to run out, plumb out on Roswell Boulevard, climb the highest telephone pole and wave and say, here we come! The bride of Jesus is coming home! Thank God for the glory of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ! I'm going to give you three things about this bride and the glory tonight. Listen to me. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ, and she's going to share by His side that heavenly glory. Oh, you think about it. I don't know how to talk about it, but it's going to be wonderful, the bridegroom. Secondly, I'm going to tell you something. You won't agree with this, but I believe John the Baptist will be the best man. Write down John chapter 3 and verse 29. Talks about the friend of the bridegroom. I believe old John will be the best man. And then I'm going to tell you who I believe will be the one that will be the blessed presentation. The one that will present or give the bride away, I believe, will be Paul the great apostle. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, I'm jealousy over you without jealousy, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. He said, Paul said, that I may present you. But you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's all right. We won't fuss about that. I want you to know tonight, I don't care who gives us away, I'm going to be in that, praise God, and I'm going to be in that glory, and brother, that's going to be a blessed time. Oh, the wedding in the sky, listen to me, tonight the church is part of His glory, and unto Him be glory of the church. Look at the church and you'll behold His glory. Number 5, oh, we see His glory conquering death, and the Bible said He was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father. Woo! Praise God. Do you know what's going to raise me? The same spirit of glory is going to get me up one morning. Bless God. And if you're saved tonight, listen to me. Oh, the glory of conquering death. Jesus Christ conquered death. And when He came out, He had a couple of keys. He said, devil, smell of these. Bless God. I'm going to unlock death. I'm going to unlock hell. He said, I've got the keys of death and of hell. I never will forget the first time I went in that tomb over there. I got up early one morning. I said to Mr. Matter, he was the keeper of the tomb. I said, Brother Matter, tomorrow morning before daylight, I'm coming down to go in the tomb. He said to Brother Mays, he said, we're not supposed to let you in. We're having a morning service, sunrise service. I said, me and old Blair Jackson's coming down there. We're going to shout this place out. Why, listen, you say, do they like shouting? Well, let me tell you something. Roy was preaching in that same place, and they came up there and got all excited. Roy was bringing a great message, and God was on him. And they don't like shouting. But you know, they don't like shouting a lot of places I go, but I shout anyway. Praise God, I want you to know. And I'm going to put a quiet emphasis on me. I'm going to holler on general principles, because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give God the glory and the praise for salvation and honor. And I told him, I said, you let me down there. And so we went down there. And if you go in that tomb, you got to bend over. Some of you have been with us, you know. And they won't let you back there where Jesus' feet was and where His head lay. And they won't. And I said, Matter? I said, what's that cry? He said, you're coming out here to worship. I said, hurry up. I said, where's the key so I can get through this iron gate? He said, over there, behind that rock. I ain't supposed to let you in, but I'm going out here in the garden. He said, go ahead. Boy, when he got out, I got that key behind that rock. I put in that old iron gate. I pushed that thing open. I crawled back there and I said, Bly, after I get situated, I want you to start singing, He arose, He arose, He arose, He arose, victorious over death and the foes of hell. And I went and laid my head where His head had been. I laid my feet where His feet had been. I put my hands over my bosom. And I said, God, I don't want to be blasphemous, but I want to feel a little bit of the power and the glory and the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You may not believe this, child, but I got a little bit of what Jesus had. And bless God, I came up out of there. And I got a taste of the glory of His resurrection. Because because the Spirit of God moved in my tomb. Old Bly got to singing and is getting out there for morning service, and me and him ran out of there, and they thought the second resurrection had already taken place. Woo! You sad brother Mass! Let me tell you something. I'm glad tonight. It says in Revelation 1, listen to me. Behold, I'm he that was dead, but in my life evermore. I got the keys tonight. I'm glad. Boy, Jesus went in there toward that first morning of Easter. He got the devil around the throat. He got hell around the throat. He got death around the throat. And said, I'm going to hold on to your holler calf rope. And praise God, he squeezed. And the stinger came out. I'm glad, praise God, he squeezed the stinger out of death. And they will forget one day years ago, I was down in Columbia. You've been to Columbia, South Carolina. Folks, it's the hottest place in the world. Oh, it's hot. I mean hot. I was down there, and my wife went in a preacher's department store. You know what that is, don't you? 5 and 10. But anyway, she went in, and I was out there, and I rolled the glasses down, and I had an old Broadway Himmler. I don't sing, so why should I be carrying a hymn book? But that day, I had an old Broadway Himmler in my car, and my oldest boy was there, and he's this little boy, and he's a fretting. And I said, be still, honey. And he's a fretful, and he's so moving. About that time, we had both windows roll down. A big old bee said, boom, hit the windshield, and went up that windshield, and came down the windshield. And that little boy said, I'll get him. I said, go ahead. I said, bless God, there'll be one thing you'll let go of. You'll remember next time. And as that bee went up and down that glass, he said, oh, he missed him. And then he said, oh, he missed him again. And then that bee lit. I said, ho, 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 hold it. And when that bee lit away, you know what happened? His stinger was nearly all the way out. I took that broad and him just like this one. And praise God, I hit that bee and I finished knocking his stinger out. But I didn't hurt him. So I got him by the feet, and I held him up, and he still had them horns, and he still had them wings. I held him out, little boy, said, give him! And I reached over and handed, that bee to my boy, cause he didn't have any stinger. And God bless me so good, said Mays. You know what Jesus did when he was raised that day? Bless God, he knocked a stinger out of death, and he won't have to be afraid. And praise God, you know what I did? I jumped out and hollered, woo! My wife came up and said, how come you didn't stay in the car? I said, you don't know what's happened. I said, praise God, he don't have a stinger anymore. Thank God, Jesus was raised for the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. Number 6, quickly tonight, we see the glory in the coming of Jesus in power and great glory. Let me say this, the last time the world saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he's hanging on a cross. But the next time the world sees him, he's coming in power and great glory. And brother, his feet shall stand on Mount Olivet. I want to tell you something, brother, and the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the Bible said the whole earth will be full of his glory. You know what you'll say when you get up in the morning and say good morning? You'll say glory. Praise God. You'll meet somebody and you'll say glory. That'd be a good right now. Praise God. Just get up every morning and holler glory. And just when somebody says good morning, say glory. That's what they're going to do during the 1,000 years reign. And the Bible said the crooked places will be made straight. You listen to me. And that'll mean half of the Baptists are going to have to do some straightening out. They call it, praise God, the crooked. And he said the crooked places will be straightened out, and the valleys will be exalted, and the trees will clap their hands, and the rocks will open their mouths. Did you know the other morning I went over to Stone Mountain? Mac will tell you, if you took a crow and let him fly from my house to Stone Mountain, it's 3 miles. I mean, like a crow flies. I went over the other day, and my wife was looking at that big old mountain. I said, Dot, remember when my boys was little, and they wanted me to climb the top of that, and I couldn't do it? I said, wouldn't you like to be here when Jesus comes back in power and great glory? And wouldn't you like to stand down here and have that old mountain up there, the biggest stone mountain in the world? They tell me that its foundation goes into 6 days, and that big granite stone called Stone Mountain one day is going to open its mouth, and boy, going to start singing glory, glory to his name. I want to tell you something, mister. Oh, the whole earth will be filled filled with His glory. And He comes in glory and great power. I can see a man as he flies in Jerusalem and he looks out the window and he says, there's no desert. And a little stewardess says, have you not heard that King Jesus reigns in Jerusalem? I see a person walking down the street. Somebody said, you don't have a seeing eye dog anymore. He said, have you not heard that the blind shall see and the deaf shall hear and the lame shall leap because of the glory of God in the kingdom reign will be blessed. Hallelujah. But that's not all. They come to the last thing. Time slipped away before I knew it. Listen to me. We see His glory in the final coronation day. We went to Israel. Brother Roy was with us, and some of you out there was with us. And we had a little fella from Chattanooga. He wrote a song, one of the finest little songs I believe I ever heard. And every time we'd stop, I'd say, Paul, how about singing a little bit of that? You know what old Paul would sing? Oh, you may be out in the rain. You may be out in the cold. And he got to singing, but you can't crown Jesus till I get there. Woo! Bless God, there's a lot of things they can do up there. But there's one thing they can't do. They can't have that coronation day till old Mays gets over there. And I want to tell you, you talk about glory. It's going to be filled with glory and power in the great coronation day. Let me show you something. 25 years ago, just a little over 25 years ago, I was riding home in that automobile one night. There was a fellow from North Carolina. He was on NBC. And here's the description he gave. He said, friends, I've never witnessed such splendor. He said, you cannot imagine the immaculate scene. Said the Archbishop of Canterbury has the crown. And said, we've all gathered here. The Commonwealth of England waits for that moment when she will be crowned the queen. And Bob Trout, that great announcer on NBC, was describing that. And he said, here's the music playing softly, hail to the queen. Here she comes to stand before the altar. And now he lifts that crown. All of the commonwealth of the world waits for this moment. He can't sing in Latin. He now says, the blessings of God rest upon you, the Queen of England. And now he places that crown, and with a tear in his voice, Bob Trout said, and this is her coronation day. I just pulled up my brakes, and I said, Lord, he thinks that's something. I said, you wait till that great morning. Praise God when they come from the east and the west and the north and the south. And thank God they're going to gather over yonder in the great grand finale of Mall, and they're going to stand. And we're all going to stand on our tiptoes and sing glory to His name. And He's going to walk out in the midst. And we'll take our crowns. And we'll cast them at Jesus' feet. And then will come that great moment. Oh, listen. When all of heaven's glory will come down upon Him. And He'll be in the midst. And I'm glad we'll come forth. And I want to tell you something, my friend. It's going to be one of the greatest moments that the world has ever seen.
Oh, you ain't of Jesus' name.
Yes, that we're going to
angels prostrate.
They're going to fall prostrate in His feet.
Bring forth
the royal diadem. Thank God we're going to crown Him. Lord, Lord of all.
Sing with us.
Yes.
Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all.
Oh, that with yonder sacred throne. Oh, that with yonder sacred throne. We at His feet
what
may
fall.
We're
going to the and to bring the glory.
And crown Him.
Crown Him.
Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song. And crown Him Lord of all. And crown Him Lord of all.
And everybody said, amen. All right, you can be seated just a moment.
I want you to bow your head.